Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll be looking at verses 89 through 96, not 1 through 185. So, Psalm 119, verses 89 through 96. Page 514, if you have a pew Bible, 514. Let's listen to the reading of God's holy word, Psalm 119, verses 89 through 96. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your word here in Psalm 119, and verses 89 through 96. But we ask now for your spirit to work in our hearts. Help us come humbly to this text. We ask for your spirit to illuminate your word to us this morning. Change our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Grow us in our faith. And if we're here, we don't know you. Save us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so last week we looked at the shortest psalm in the Bible. This week we're looking at part of the longest psalm, though I did have actually some people come up to me last week and ask me if I was really going to preach the whole Psalm 119. No, that'd be the longest sermon, I think, ever, if you did. But here we're looking at just a chunk of it. And if you notice, with Psalm 119, because it is the longest psalm, and it is the longest chapter in the Bible, you notice that it's broken up. You can look at, there's like little headings between each section here, and it's broken up by the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, it's broken up that way, most likely for memorization purposes for the Israelites. Probably their children and the adults would memorize Psalm 119. Can you imagine that? Memorizing Psalm 119, what a blessing that would be. And they did it, though, by breaking it up into those chunks. And this morning we're looking at the Lamed section. That's just a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. But let's now focus on this section of Psalm 119, and then let's look specifically now at verses 89 through 91. Look at those verses again. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. Okay, so there's a lot of terminology, maybe we get lost in it, but basically what this section is teaching is the eternality of God's word, that God's word is forever. It doesn't end. It stands, look at this, it stands this day and forever. It endures for all generations. It is firmly fixed in the heavens. God's word is eternal. God's word is forever. So that means, first, that God's word will always be around for God's people. God's word will always be around for God's people. We may have it in oral form. We may have it in written form, like your Bibles. We may have it in electronic form, like on my phone, right? Or we'll have it in a form that we can't even comprehend. I really doubt Luther could comprehend or predicted we would have a Bible, you know, on our phone. We'll always have God's word. Will always have God's word. It will never be replaced. It will never vanish. It will never become extinct. There was this this movie with Denzel Washington, Book of Eli, this post-apocalyptic, end of the world type movie. Nuclear holocaust after the nuclear holocaust. And the whole movie is about. And I'm not recommending the movie because I haven't seen it for years. But I'm not recommending it. But he's walking around with this book. And he's protecting this book with everything he has. It's the Book of Eli. His name is Eli. And the viewer never knows what that book is. And at the very end, spoiler alert, he loses the book and the book is destroyed. All right, and he's like, oh, well, that's kind of a bummer. But then what does he do? He recites the book from memory because he was blind and he read the book in Braille on this journey that he took. And the book was the Bible. Isn't that interesting? The book was the Bible. And what a good picture that is. No matter what happens, the follower of Christ will always have the word. no matter what. And maybe it's even in the form of Denzel Washington reading it to us. We don't know, right? But we will always have God's word. But secondly, because we will always have God's word, because it's firmly fixed in the heavens, it's forever, will always be useful and applicable for God's people. His word will always be useful and applicable for God's people. It doesn't matter, what the culture's like. It doesn't matter who is president. It doesn't matter what kind of pandemic hits our world next. God's word is still applicable, and it's still useful for us always. So 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We know that verse, right? But think about it. It will be that way forever because God's word is firmly fixed in the heavens. God's word is eternal. It's forever. And Jesus spoke about this, right? Jesus spoke about the eternal nature of the word in the Sermon on the Mount, which we will get to in a few months here as we start Matthew next week. But in Matthew 5, 17 through 18, he says this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Okay, God's word is eternal. God's word is eternal. And then finally, what's probably the most famous verse? Isaiah 40 verse 8, right? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. That's not just something we recite. Right? That's something that's true. God's word is forever. Remember that. Remember that. The psalm moves on, though. The psalm moves on. Look at verse 92. This is a really applicable sermon this morning because it's an applicable text. Look at verse 92. "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction." If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. The word of God helps us in our tough times. The word of God helps us when we are going through affliction. That's what the psalmist says, affliction. Or palmist, as our president-elect said this week, palmist. I had to make that joke as I read my sermon notes this morning. It was in my mind all morning. So sorry, I will get it out of my system. All right, it's out of my system. But we need the word, and that will help us get through our affliction. And think about all of our afflictions. If we were all given truth serum right now and we had to not be Presbyterian for a second and poured out our affliction, it would all be so vast and so different, right? And we would have a lot. The word of God is for that. It will help us get through that. The psalmist says God's word is to help us get through the dark times. It's to help us get through our afflictions. And now, listen, prayer and fellowship are also ways that we get through affliction, right? But the psalmist here is focusing on the word. That's what helps us get through our dark times, and that's what helps us persevere. Pastor Frank and I actually have something in common. He has run marathons. I have watched a marathon. Okay, well, part of a marathon because they're kind of boring. But we do have that connection. Several years ago, he asked me if I would be interested in volunteering at the Snuffles run. So I spent the morning and I handed out Gatorade and water and actually gummy bears to the marathon people. I didn't realize that gummy bears were at marathons, but I guess they are. That might give me motivation to run if I knew there was gummy bears being handed out. Probably not. Let's just be honest. But what was the point? We know what the point of water and Gatorade is. That's obvious. Hydration, right? But I had to actually ask the lady, and maybe it's obvious to you all, but I don't think quickly. But I asked the lady who was handing out the gummy bears, like, why gummy bears? First of all, they're not messy, right? Like, you can't hand out chocolate, that'd be messy. But it's for energy. It's for quick, like, here, grab a bunch of gummy bears, and in a COVID world, that's such an unsanitary thing. Just they would just dip their hand in the bucket of gummy bears, but they would eat them, and they were easy to chew and easy to swallow as they're running, and they would give energy. All right, it would help the runners persevere. Same with the water and the Gatorade; it would help hydrate them, help these runners persevere. And you know what? That's what the word is for us. The word has been given to us to help us persevere, Right? Because isn't life just like a marathon? I mean, honestly, it's grueling. I mean, there's moments where you get that runner's high and it's fun. This whole COVID thing with school, I mean, the 3 weeks before Thanksgiving was a marathon trying to get to that break, right? And that's a picture too of what our life is. The word here helps us though. It helps us persevere. It helps us in our affliction. And you know what does not help us persevere? You know what does not help us go through our affliction? Isolating ourselves. Isolating ourselves, ignoring God and His word. You know, it's going on social media. Comfort items like, you know, food and alcohol. That doesn't help us persevere. You know, it's the word. It's the word that helps us deal with our affliction. That's what this psalmist is saying. And again, go back to the first point. This word that helps us persevere, that helps us with our affliction, endures forever. Endures forever. Now let's move on to verse 33. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. All right, so here God's word saves a person. Saves a person. And I think God's word saves a person in two ways. Now you need to listen closely, especially if you're an elder or former elder, before you report me to the session, okay? But I think God's word saves us first in a justification sense. Now, just bear with me. But we read the word. And what does the word reveal to us? The gospel, right? The good news. It's the word that reveals our total depravity, our heaps of sin. Remember, don't you love that in the prayer? Our heaps of sin since the original sin. It's the word that reveals that truth to us. It's the word that reveals the Savior, the only Savior, Jesus. It's the word that reveals the cross to us and what that means. It's the word that reveals justification. It's the word that saves. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So we need to know the word so we can hear the word so we can be saved, right? So we can know the gospel, know the truth. But secondly, the word saves us in a sanctification sense. In a sanctification sense, it's the word that helps us grow and helps save us from our sins, right? Practically speaking. It's the word that we read that helps us learn the word, and so we can fight our sin with the word. I never forget your precepts, and what? I seek your precepts. I seek your precepts. The psalmist wants the word. He wants to grow in the word, to know the word. Why? To save himself from his sin, to grow in holiness, to grow in holiness. Verse 95, I consider your testimonies. Again, he's considering the word, pondering the word so he can grow in peace and grow in grace. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. So it's the word that saves in a justification sense, but also in a sanctification sense. Okay. Do you see how important the word is? Do you see how important the word of God is? And here's the other thing, and this is where I'm going to kind of go now. Do you see how we need the word more than just Sunday morning? Like, it's so great that you all are here. Don't get me wrong. But we need more than just one sermon. One little, what is it, six verses this morning? Six verses a week. We need the word. We need to seek the word. And here's the thing. It's the word that saves, right? So that's why we preach the word. That's why we preach the word. That's why I've kind of was doing some math. We average about 115 people now. It's not how it always has been, but it's kind of what we're averaging now. But in the 5 years that we've been here, that I've been here, you know, hundreds of people. I've preached probably before hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe close to 1,000, whether it's family, friends, neighbors, just the random people that walk in, you know, right? What gives me hope about that and joy is that I preach the word. And hopefully they hear the word and God works and they are saved. Right? Because that's how people are saved. That's why preaching the word on Sunday is so important. It's not gimmicks. It's not entertainment that saves. It's the word. And we need to understand that. And this, we need to understand that personally, on a personal level. For you guys, as you go out to your neighbors, as you have your relationships, take the word with you. Whether you, if you quote it specifically word for word, if you paraphrase it, if you live the word, right? That's what will save people. That's what will save your neighbor, your family, your loved ones. The word is so important for justification. Now, what's our theology? Our theology is God saves, right? It's not that we, it's not us, the vessels. God saves, but take the word out. Take the word out. Spread the seed. Here's this parable, Matthew 13, right? A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So we are to take the seed, the word, and spread it out. Spread it out. Just throw it, right? And some, you know, not some will grow, some won't. Some will be saved, some won't. That's up to God. We trust him. But we are to take the word out because it's the word that saves. But here's the other thing. It's not just about justification, but sanctification. This is why it's also so important for you to come, not just one Sunday a week, or get the word just once a week on Sunday. We need the word constantly, daily. We need to be studying God's word. We need a daily dose of God's word, right? In February, which seems forever ago, in a pre-COVID world, I had an ulcer. You probably remember that, or maybe you don't. And that was just painful, and the doctor gave me a medicine I had to take 4 times a day, 4 hours in between. And it had to be clockwork, and I had to set my phone to remind me I'm a 90-year-old in a 41-year-old body here. It was quite humbling, right? But when I didn't take that medicine, even if I missed it just a little bit, I remember a night that we went to Fruita to see Fletcher's game. I didn't hear my alarm go off during the game, but man, I got pain, and that was enough to remind me. We need the word. Like, I needed that medicine. I needed not just one pill a week. I needed 4 pills a day. Now, I'm not saying we read the word for, but I'm not saying don't read the word 4 times a day. But we need the word of God regularly in our lives, because that is what draws us closer to him. That is what helps us fight our sin. That is what clothes us in holiness. That is what draws us closer to him. Get in the word. And what happens when we don't get in the word? It's what happened when I didn't take my medicine. Pain. Maybe not physical, but struggles of life. Your struggles of temptation. They might overwhelm you. You might feel farther away from the Lord and not closer to him. You might feel empty. You might cave into sin more and more. You might suffer from forms of depression, anxiety, because we're not getting in the word. We need to get in the word. So brothers and sisters, get in the word. Look at this psalm. See how important it is. And in fact, the cool thing about Psalm 119, it's all about the word. That's what's so beautiful about it. Read the whole psalm. Read about the importance of the word and get in it. Set aside a time in your day to get in the word. Come to Bible study. Come to Sunday school. There's different options here. The men have a study. Jennifer Wackley's doing a women's study, I believe, still. Get in the word. Read it on your own, a verse or whatever, but get in the word. And then we get to verse 96. It's a summary statement here of what we just read. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. So there's a limit to perfection. Not anything's perfect except the word, right? He has seen the world. It's not perfect, but what does he see? He sees the word, and it's broad. It's broad. It extends to farther than everything. It's perfect. It's eternal. It's forever. So let's remember that. But let's remember something else. As we study this psalm, what does this psalm point us to? Like all other psalms, again, it points us to Christ. So here we have Psalm 119 talking about how the word is firmly fixed in the heavens, about how the word is eternal, about how the word is forever, about how the word will help us get through afflictions, about how the word will save us. It points us to the greater word. It points us to Jesus. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So look at Psalm 119 and be excited about the Word. Change your view of the Word. Get in the Word. But look to the greater Word. Look to Jesus. Look to what Jesus has accomplished. Salvation. He's firmly fixed in the heavens forever and ever. He will never leave us. Let us look toward Jesus. And then what? It's Advent, right? Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate the Word. Celebrate that he is eternal. Celebrate that he is firmly fixed in the heavens. Celebrate that he has saved us from our sins. Celebrate Christ, the Word. And then from there, what? Get in the Word. Get in the written Word. Celebrate the Word in flesh, but get in the written Word. And maybe you're here and you don't know Christ, right? Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. You're not saved. Get in the Word. Read John. Come back next week as we start Matthew. We're going to start our two-year look at Matthew, walking through it. Even next week with a genealogy. It's a hard way to start, but it's a fun way to start as well. But if you're here and you don't know Christ, get in the Word. Read the Word so you can be saved by the Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Psalm 119, that whole psalm. What a beautiful psalm it is. But thank you for this Lamed section. Father, help us see the importance of your word in our life as a follower of Christ. Reading your word every single day will not cause you to love us more. You love us. But getting in your word and reading it every day will change our hearts and will draw us closer to you. Will grow us in our faith and will grow us in holiness as we fight our sin. So, Father, please get us in your word. But, Father, also help us always look to the Word, Christ, who is firmly fixed in the heavens, who is forever and ever, and who saves us from the affliction of sin. Let us celebrate that as believers. But if there is someone here who does not know that truth, bring them to repentance and faith in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.